Welcome to this episode of The Balanced Mind, where we're going to be talking about addressing confidence issues. Joining me today, as always, is Richard Bruin, my co-host. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm good. Hello, everybody.
Thank you. And I hope you're all ready to look at the intersection of behavior, cognitive. And cognition and emotional well-being, so we can understand what's really going on for us. So confidence then. Obviously, I guess this sits more in my bag, but confidence is a, as I understand it, can be quite a big issue for people out there in the accountancy and bookkeeping world, can't it, Richard?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Yeah, we talk a lot about the shortage of resources, in particular about not having enough time, not having enough people, not having the skill sets necessarily, not having enough clients. But actually one of the biggest shortages that we have within the professions is confidence and lacking self-confidence. Well, I think I guess both sides, lacking self-confidence, but also then lacking confidence in our firms and our systems and our processes and the world around us. I think it's got nothing to do with the sort of people that are attracted to accounting and bookkeeping. I hear that said, that's what accountants are like. Well, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. Accountants just same as anybody else. I think it's got
Yeah, I
something
agree.
to do with our training and the route that we go through, because we're trained to be cautious and to cynical and to look for what's wrong, and there's not a lot of positivity in that. But I think it goes deeper than that as well. There's something around the environment, but lack of confidence holds back so many people within our profession, and probably underpins a lot of the other challenges that we face when it comes to how we're perceived, how we reflect our value, those sort of things. So yeah, it's a big topic.
And complex. I agree with you completely about the training. Everybody is trained in the same way. I remember having a conversation with somebody a couple of years ago where she said the profession is endeavoring to bring in fresh new faces and ideas and whatever, and then they train it all out of them. So we all turn out as automatons at the end. And the risk of that is that you are then setting a standard, which is right. But a standard where people are doubting themselves from the word go, am I as good as they say I should be? Just because I've been through the training, there's a whole, when you're setting up your business, definitely, and even in business, there's a whole way of being that you're not necessarily taught. It's almost expected as a professional. You all know that. I don't think it quite works as we need it to. The other thing that I think a lot of people underestimate is that confidence in the past is something that can be put on. And in fact, there used to be back in my day, training to be confident was all about how you stood, how you spoke, the way you conducted yourself, la 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 la. And it's so not, we're beginning to learn more about how the deeper mind works, and there's a whole thing, set of things that have got to be aligned for your confidence to be in place. And I think that's important to understand. So for those of you who are listening who do feel a lack of confidence, it's okay. And there are some ways that you can start to build that up, which we can explore some of them today, I think.
Yeah, I
So
think I agree totally about what you say. There's certainly no quick fix, and there's no single fix. At the one end of the scale, you've got the sort of just get over yourself approach, go and give yourself a slap around the head and come back in. I think there's a lot that we can do around our systems and our processes that can help build confidence, particularly when it comes to having confidence in our delivery. I think there's certainly a huge amount we can do around how we talk to each other, how we perceive the job that we do. I think sometimes, I certainly remember in my own career, which we're in year 44 of that career now, and I
Who's
go back to
counting?
me for a start off. I go back just 3 months of that career because I've probably said before, I never intended to be an accountant. I just fell into accountancy because I couldn't get a job anywhere else. And for 3 months, I didn't have a clue. Absolutely didn't have a clue. I enjoyed going into the office. I enjoyed office life. I was actually okay doing the tasks that I was being given in the office. But when it came to the studying, the things that I needed to do to start my route qualifying as an accountant, I really was in the depths of despair. I thought, I'm never going to get this. I just don't know this. I made a horrendous mistake coming into this profession. Everybody else in the room was flying and it was making perfect sense. And I'm like, I don't get it. And I passed a set of exams 3 months in. Back in those days, if you were what they called a non-relevant graduate, i.e., you hadn't done an accounting degree, you had to pass a conversion course. And as a geography degree, I had to do that. And 3 months in, somehow I passed those exams. I have no idea to this day how I did it, but I remember vividly the feeling about, okay, I must know something. And it was almost like a physical boost, a push in the back that I was like, okay, I've not made a horrendous mistake. I'm the one who was actually wrong because I thought I had. And so I think sometimes you can have those moments that you can go, okay, yes, that boosted my confidence. Now, of course, that was, 3 months into a 40-odd year career, and there were many, many times during that time when I lacked confidence. People will tell me these days, it's all right for you, Richard, you can do these things and all the rest of it. Well, some of that is down to having done it for 44 years and found every wrong way to do it and ended up the right way. But also, it's not, there's still things to this day that I lack confidence in. I'm just far better, I guess, at putting myself in situations where I can be more confident. And some of that comes with age, doesn't it? But not all of our viewers want to wait until they're in the 60s before they actually crack out to do this job.
Exactly. Thank you so much for sharing your own journey with confidence. And this is the other thing I think people misunderstand about confidence. It's not a one and done thing. You're not confident and learn to be confident, and then you never have any lack of confidence again. Confidence is a feedback system from the body to say something's not right. I'm not sure about this. What are you doing? And it's a validation, it's a questioning who you are or what you're doing. And it's feeling unsafe. So when you go into new things, you will feel maybe a lack of confidence unless you can pull very strongly on successes in the past, because that deeper mind only ever works in the past. It doesn't understand the future and it understands the now. So depending on how you're reacting to it, and that will be down to your mindset overall. You may find that you're struggling. And I was talking about this morning as well, was that that the skill set and the ways of being you need for a one-man band to what you need for a million-pound business are very different. And in that scale of growth, your confidence may take some hits, and it's okay. It's the recovery rate that's important here, and knowing that you can get back to it. And knowing that when you are feeling a lack of confidence, what is going on that you need right now to overcome it? Because it could be doubt, it could be fear, it could be, you've got a belief going on, I'm not good enough, or you're comparing yourself to somebody. Oh my Lord, that's one of the biggest ones. Because what I loved about what you said is everybody else seemed to be sailing through their exams in that early time. You don't know what was going on beyond the surface. They may have been. Fake it till you make it, and all that doesn't mean to say they weren't feeling a lack of confidence, because confidence is our internal measurement of how we're doing, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, for instance, to pick up on that point, because go back, if I go back to those times, the vast majority of the students in the room were from what at the time would have been called top 10 firms, would now be called top four firms. And so that there's a degree of confidence that comes with working with that sort of firm for a startup, I think. And also, you were talking earlier about this idea of how you dress, how you talk, all that sort of training that comes along with it. So there's a bit of a artificial front end to that confidence, isn't there? I wonder whether how much of it is down to the expectations we set on ourselves? Because as professional advisors, we are, we think that we're, everyone comes to us for the questions, for the answers. We think that we're the people who should be able to fix everything. And because we know we can't, it introduces that self-doubt. And yet, clearly, the person who has come to us has confidence in us. We if the viewers and the listeners on this call now, if you're thinking, okay, I'm not very confident, I'm not sure I'm that good, or the rest of it, chances are you've got 50, 100, 200, 500,000 clients. So there's actually a lot of people who would disagree with you. And I wonder whether, how much of this is just an it's a really internal thing almost, isn't it? It's
Very internal. And you're right. And interestingly, this is where self-doubt can be part of it. It's not the whole thing, but self-doubt can be part of it because somebody can tell you something about yourself and you can just dismiss it. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's normal. Everybody does that, don't they? No, they don't. And I don't I think in this in the Western world, but definitely in the UK, we do not celebrate well people doing well or success. We've still got some resonances of the past where you need to keep people down so they don't get beyond themselves, don't we? And of course, that can't help the matter. That cannot help people who are brought up in an environment where you didn't sing your own praises, and parents didn't sing your praises. I think it's changing, possibly in the last generation or two, but before that, not so much. And consequently, we take that role over. Once we leave our the parental home and we set off on our own, we've got our own voice, which is actually originally one of the parents giving us a hard time, and we take it on. And so confidence is knocked. And we just continue that trend. It's very much internal, very much internal. And I think the more that we can understand that there's something you can do about it, the better. And if now is an appropriate time, one of the things that I would like my clients who come to see me to go away with is an increase in the belief in themselves. So many people say they believe in themselves, but there are certain areas where they don't, because it's like confidence. It can be very much state dependent and environment dependent and time of life dependent. I want them to trust themselves. Another big factor I think underpins confidence. If you doubt yourself, you're constantly second guessing yourself. And let's face it, in this profession, that is exactly what you have to do, don't you? You've got to be right. You've got to be sure. If you're doing that, you're not trusting yourself as much as you should. And I think there's always room for improvement there. Loving yourself. For some people, they're a bit, well, that's a bit namby-pamby. But actually, loving yourself is respecting yourself, is making sure that your needs are met first, that your self-care is okay, that can appreciate what you're bringing to the table. You get those three things together, and I think your confidence can begin to soar. There are a couple of others, but that's the key ones, I think, that would make such a big difference to people if they focused on those three areas and being grateful, appreciating who they are.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you say that, because I think for certainly in my experience and all of the professionals that I deal with, that nails it. Because that we one of the reasons I got into doing what I do now anyway, when we sold the last of our firms and I got into working with other accountants, one of the big drivers for me was to balance up the accountant client relationship. Because having been in the profession for so long and having run our own firms and all the rest of it, many, many accountants, many bookkeepers essentially sacrifice themselves for the good of their clients. They work silly hours, they try and meet deadlines that are just unachievable, and it's not their fault, but they just want to help the client. They do stuff for nothing, and it's all because they want to help their client, and so they sacrifice themselves accordingly. And that's not right, because it means that it's ours, it's ourselves, it's our own health, it's our families who are missing out. And so balancing things up is a big driver for me. And getting, one of the biggest challenges is just getting the accountant, the bookkeeper, to recognize their own worth, so that we don't compromise ourselves. So we do realize it's okay to stand up and go, actually, this doesn't work for me, or actually, I need to get something out of this. Because the vast majority are very nice, very caring, very fair people. We don't need to worry about those things. We shouldn't be compromising ourselves to try and reflect them. It does link into this, this fundamental thing about what are we worth. And we don't, because we don't celebrate our successes, when we do a good job, we just go, okay, well, that's done. I'll move on to the next one.
That's what we always do. That's what was expected.
We
Oh, yeah.
deem a good we deem doing a good job as just doing our job.
Yes, I
But when
agree.
we make a mistake or when something goes wrong, oh, we pore over it and we discuss it and we worry about it at night. There's a complete imbalance between celebrating the successes, which we don't do, and overemphasizing on the things that don't go right. And so, of course, we end up with that shift in our own mind because they feature us. And I think, one of the first things I would do when I work with a firm is go, okay, let's have a session with the team where we just celebrate our successes. And it'll be all the stuff that they're going, well, I'm not sure what we're going to celebrate. But actually, once you start going about, once you go through, well, we're talking big or small, we're talking, when you did a good job, when someone had a great bit of news, when you won a new client, when you saved clients from tax, then all of a sudden you've got 200 successes on a piece of paper. And they're like, wow, actually, we're not a
Yeah.
bad firm, are we? It's like that sort of thing comes through, and it's
Love
because
it.
we, again, it's back to this, let's focus on the negatives, let's focus on the weaknesses, let's focus on the errors, instead of let's just high five each other because we've had a good day,
Is that an industry thing? I don't know that it is. But this idea of focusing on the negative, I came from a tech background in terms of projects and programs. And when things were going, it was almost, and very similar to what you've just said, that was your job. You're a project manager to deliver on time, isn't it? Well, clearly you have no concept of project management because, if a project comes in time, there wasn't clearly enough stretching going on for what needed to be delivered. For most projects, there's so many moving parts, it's never going to arrive on time. I'm not saying it's going to be uber late, like some are. Not talking about the tunnel that they're trying to build at the moment, but I'm talking, smaller tech ones. But we're always focused on the risks and the issues and the learnings. And the learnings were not always positive. So yeah, I don't know whether that's something that is innate in humans, I suspect it is, but whether it's certainly as we're talking about accountants and bookkeepers, whether that's just the way that they've been programmed over the course of their training. What do you think?
I think, I mean, obviously, it's important to be aware of the risks and the mistakes, and to analyze those and do something about it. But it's as important to look at what's gone well and to celebrate those successes. Back in the day when I was a, it was doing audit with KPMG, at the end of every large audit, there would always be an audit meal, and everybody involved in the audit and the tax
Oh,
and all
wow.
would all come out, and you'd just all have a, you'd celebrate the conclusion of a project. That's
Lovely.
something that firms, smaller firms in particular, just do not do. The conclusion of the project means that you start another one. And there's no time to sort of, if there is a any review of that project, it tends to be autopsy style review. Let's dig in and see what's gone wrong. And
Exactly,
that's
yes.
good. That's good because we want to improve it for next time. But let's go, that was great. That was done really well. We don't, it is this concept of it's just in my job. And I think that's part of the problem because just because we do something every day and we find it fairly straightforward, fairly standard, doesn't mean to say it doesn't have value, doesn't mean to say it's not been done successfully. But it we do, we just sort of we're on the lookout for things going wrong rather than,
Yeah.
let's just recognize we've had a really good day today. Let's just recognize you've done a great job there. I think it's something that I'm hoping that over the years it changes because, when you look at Gen Z coming in, the younger millennials, this sort of thing, then they're more driven to have these sort of conversations, and I think that's a good thing, that but as a profession, because we've been so obsessed with delivery, it's all about getting to the end of the job, getting the tax return out, getting the accounts out. then we almost completely bypass the human side of that. Yeah, and we don't even talk about them in terms of projects, but they are. Even if it's only taking 2 hours, it's still a project. Yeah, and so let's recognize that when we do a good job, yeah, and let's recognize when we deliver value, because it's every day. Yeah,
I
and
love
that's not
that.
happy, and people don't feel like that, do they? They don't feel like
No.
every, yeah. I'm not saying every day is a happy, clappy, great day, but every day we do something. When did we last have a conversation with a client where there was no value in that conversation? Doesn't happen.
No. And it doesn't have to be happy clappy, does it? It just satisfied, quietly satisfied. That was good. I've got that done. And one of the things that I talk a lot about, I've got some key concepts that I go on about regularly, and one of them all starts with you. And the reason I did that is obviously because it's all about the inner world, and we've got to make the shifts internally in order to see the shifts externally. But it's interesting because one of the things that really helped my confidence at various points in my career was having somebody in a more senior role tell me, "That's good. Well done. I'm really pleased with the way you did that." But the one that really stood out, he never said anything, was I don't know quite what had gone on. I think he was new to the business, and I'd been around for a couple of years, not oodles of business years, but within that business for a few years. And it was the first time anybody in a managerial position had sought me out for my opinion. I nearly fell off my chair. What? And because I didn't accept the fact that or have the confidence in what I knew, I think my age was with me because I was closer to his age, albeit I was older than him. I was still closer to his age than some of the younger ones. But even so, I'd never had anybody seek out my advice. And it was only with him. It sort of went Pete Tong after that. But it was interesting because that really lifted my confidence. I suddenly thought, well, actually, I must be talking sense here. And my confidence meant I could do more of it. And if you start to tap into where you feel confident, the thing I would recommend our listeners to do is to notice where you feel it. Because just like a muscle, you can replicate that feeling. And all you've got to do is feel where you feel it. And it could be in your head, heart, gut, could be somewhere else, but they're the key areas. If you feel confident and notice where you feel the confidence, to make it easier, give it a color, maybe a shape. I know that sounds bizarre, but trust me, it is easier for the unconscious mind to understand what color means than for you to think, what's the feeling? Where's the feeling all the time? But if you can get that pattern and you practice it enough, that confidence will start to grow. It's a
Yeah, I
little
love
bit
that.
more cumbersome, but it's like going to the gym. You've got to practice it because if not, the unconscious won't learn. Oh, that's good. We need more of that because it sets off the endorphins and all the good stuff that we want, rather than where we're digging the weeds and thinking lack of confidence, we're issuing a cocktail of more poisonous chemicals. They're poisonous, not because of what they are, but if you keep running them, they can become poisonous. So, which leads to all sorts of messy stuff like high blood pressure or whatever. So, we just need to learn
Like
how
that.
to. We do confidence, and everybody will do it differently.
I think part of the problem is that we are not honest enough. And I know
No, I.
that's a scandalous thing to say
It
for
is
a room full
scandalous.
of
What do you mean?
accountants and bookkeepers, but
Honest
as
with
in,
ourselves.
yeah, well, honest with ourselves and with others. I think part of the problem is we're too desperate to please, and so when I'm saying we're not honest enough, we don't say no often enough. We don't say,
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I don't know the answer to that, or no, I can't do that, or no, I'm too busy right now. And that's, we almost create situations which add pressure to ourselves. But actually, when we become more confident at saying no, because actually the reality is 99 times out of 100, when you say no, it's absolutely fine, because they'll go, okay, well, because we're not saying you're on your own. We're saying, no, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out. No, I can't do that right now, but I can get it done on Tuesday. No, we don't have the people available for that, but we could do this. So we're not, the starting point is that we're being completely honest with the situation rather than saying yes, because when we say yes and we know we can't deliver, that undermines, we're immediately, who's going to be confident? We're not confident we can't deliver. To say no again, it's part of this balancing up the relationship, but we're putting ourselves into situations where we can then be more confident because we're giving honest answers, and nothing gives you more confidence than giving an honest answer. When you're trying to bluff your way through, that's where your confidence can take a huge hit because we can't kid ourselves. We know we're trying to bluff our way through and we're waiting to get caught out. If we say, no, I can't do that, nobody can argue with that because that's my view. They might say, okay, well, for instance, if it's your boss, your boss might go, well, actually, I think you can. And your boss can then has an opportunity to show some faith in you. Or your boss might go, in that case, you need to do some more training or whatever it may be. But for you just to go, yes, and then spend the next 48 hours panicking about it because you can't do it, that just builds this feeling that I can't do it. I can't do this job. If we were just a little bit more honest, in fact, a lot more honest from the outset with ourselves, with colleagues, with clients, with bosses, I think we create situations where we are then more confident about what we do.
I agree, and I think the more that we can believe, trust, and love ourselves, and that love, remember, is a whole set of other adjectives that go behind it that sits better. You've talked about valuing yourself, that sort of thing. The more you can do those three things, the confidence will come very quickly. And I've just talked about the situational thing. If you can see or feel or notice where you feel confidence, you can practice that with the small wins. Oh, well, I did that. Because we don't, you're right, we don't recognize them enough. And the more we do, the more we can, the more we can, the more we do. It's a beautiful cycle that you set up. And so consequently, becoming more honest with yourself will be part for the course, I think, as you move through that. So I can't believe it, but we are rattling through here, this half an hour. We've got probably got about 5 minutes. And I just wonder from your perspective, what would you suggest? I mean, because you've had a longer period in accounts than I ever have, accountancies and bookkeeping world. What would you say is the one thing that you could get recommend people do for their confidence?
That's a very polite way of saying I'm old. Is that what you're saying there, Kim?
I think we are similar ages, so I don't, if you're old, so am I.
I think it's,
Physically, maybe, I'm not going with emotionally or mentally.
I think it's, I think to write down your successes, to write down the things that what you said there about recognizing the moment and how it feels and giving it a color. I think that's to do that on a daily basis because we all have wins every day, no
We
matter
do.
how small, no matter how nightmarish the rest of the day has gone. There'll be a win there. You got to work on time, or you bought a great lunch, or there'll be something in the day that has gone that went well. And I think we need to extract those and almost have your own, whether some people like to have sort of tangible things, they'll keep a jar and they'll put a pebble in every time they have a win or something like that. And you see the pebbles go, and once you get past the mark, you go out and treat yourself. Others, it's just like, let's just make a note. Just, the fact that you've cleared three things off your to-do list. The whole to-do list may have increased by six on the day because there's more stuff coming, but you've cleared three things. I think to tangibly record, register your wins because it makes you think about that side of the day. It makes you instead of coming home worrying about what didn't go well, we look deliberately for the things that did go well. I don't care how small it is, but there'll be something every day. You managed to avoid running over a pigeon on the way to work, whatever it may be, there'll be a win in the day. And I think to record those, you think actually it's not been a complete disaster.
No, thank you for that. And just to top on that, because I think what you've said leads nicely into the fact that one of the ways we can improve our mindset into more of a growth one and a positive one is by doing just what you've said, focusing on the positive, because the unconscious mind will learn that and find new neural pathways that mean that you don't even have to struggle to find it. It will just keep saying, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And it will just keep telling you. And eventually it will just become part of the norm, if you like. So a new norm. Yes, I was just thinking of something witty to say there. That didn't happen, but that's okay. Well, look, thank you very much then. And in our next episode, we're going to be looking at happiness, I believe, the importance of being happy. So it follows on quite nicely from this, I think.
I think so. Yeah, look forward to it.
Me too. So I'll talk to you then. Thank you, listeners.
Bye.